just really got a hold of me anew that when I'm praying in the Spirit, Jesus is praying through me by the Holy Spirit. And it's just like His coming to my house and asking, what you want me to pray for? What would you like me to pray for? Do you have anything you want me to pray? And that Jesus is praying through me. Now, I really knew that. You understand? I don't want you to think, well, he finally figured that out. It's just when something becomes revelation to you and it just kicks in, and all of a sudden when you're praying. So, sometimes people just, honestly, you kind of get where your mind memorizes what you're praying in the Spirit. And you could pray it in your sleep and not, I mean, it's not so much your spirit praying anymore as you're just praying what you memorized. And you get a few little phrases, you know, you hear the jokes about Chickamasai and pass them on by and Radamahandai and so on. But people do get phrases like that, and they just do them over and over, and they can spend an hour in prayer, and they walk back and forth and think about what they're going to do at work today, and just go, keep on going. Chickamasai, pass them on by. Chickamasai, pass them on by. And you know what I'm saying? And feeling that they're accomplishing something, and their prayer is not a good, effective prayer, because they're not really releasing in their spirit man that the praying. Amen? Amen. And when you recognize, now when I start praying in the Spirit, God's going to start praying through me. Jesus is going to start interceding through me. And you yield yourself in that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? It just changes that prayer life. But some people just kind of see it like, you know, like you're kind of going over and over and praying in the Spirit. You know, and they see it kind of like inside of them. Their spirit man is in there lifting weights or something. And it's just noises. And I mean, it may really legitimately be some language, and it may just be some phrases that your mind has memorized. But when we pray in the Spirit, we want our spirit man to really pray and to kick in there with an understanding that this isn't just some kind of an exercise that we're doing and having our mind off in never land. Amen? That has nothing to do with tonight's message. But I was just saying, I've been enjoying that one on prayer. And to pull away from that tonight, it's not really what I want to do, but I really feel that we should do it. And I feel like what we're dealing with here in this matter of the highway to holiness is something that will make a difference in your heart and in your life and in your understanding. We have got to come to the place, beloved, where we don't view our Christian lives as some kind of a drudgery pathway that we're suffering our way along. I mean, when you hear testimonies like what Betty said, I mean, many families go through that, but they don't have somebody in that family that the Holy Spirit can come and say, you best pray so that I can save that child. I need to intervene on this. I need to step in on this scene. I need to help if that child's going to be saved. And there's no intercessor. There's no one that the Holy Spirit can use to intercede. But when we get on this highway, beloved, that we're on, and we're walking in the holiness of the Lord and in the blessings of the Lord, there is favor in this highway. Amen. There is blessing in this highway. Amen. There is rejoicing in this highway. There is singing in this highway. We read about all of that this morning, didn't we? Amen. All of that's on this highway. This is a highway of holiness that causes blessing and rejoicing in our lives because of what God has done and what God is doing. Now, we spent quite a bit of time at the beginning of this, out of this text here in Matthew chapter 7, and starting at verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate. And we understood that word straight is the Greek word stenos. And the word stenos means it's narrow because of obstacles standing close about. So the straight gate means that it's a narrow gate, and it's narrow because there's so many obstacles in the way. And we talked about that. I don't really want to go into that a whole lot, or I'll spend most of my time just preaching what I preached this morning. But there are obstacles that keep a lot of people from finding the way into eternal life. And the obstacles can be family, it can be your old church upbringing, it can be what you've been taught all your life, it can be false doctrines and all those kind of things. I mean, you can get wrapped up in all those kind of things, and they become obstacles that hide the entrance into the pathway of salvation. And there are many people that don't find it. Many There are few that find this way, and the reason is because there are so many obstructions about it. Then he says, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now, as I pointed out this morning, I do not believe that the way that leads to destruction is broad and wide. I believe that the gate, what it's telling us is the entrance or the gate that leads to the path that leads to destruction. The gate is broad and wide. But that pathway to eternal death is a narrow, it's full of crevices, it's full of danger, it's full of dragons. You remember we talked about that. The highway to holiness doesn't have any dragons or lions on it. Amen. The enemy can't come in there against you if you're on the highway to holiness. Beloved, there's so much to preach out of this. I must be careful, hadn't I? We'll be on a four-part series here in a hurry. Because you can't walk that highway to holiness without walking by faith. Amen? When the devil comes in against you, don't welcome him in and just say, oh no, not you again. What is it this time? What have I ever done? Why do I keep having this? Just tell him, hey, have you seen the signs along this highway? No lions. Get out of here. See, he not only had his wisdom teeth pulled, Marie, he's had them all pulled. All his teeth are pulled. I mean, he's had the whole, he walks around, he's got no teeth. He tries to gum at you, and it just kind of tickles, really, if you understand what. He can't hurt you. He's been a declawed pussycat, and his teeth are gone. Amen? And besides that, on the road that we're walking on, it's posted no lions and no dragons. So when you see him, just tell him, hey, you're not allowed on this road. Get off here. Don't entertain him. Amen? Amen. We're on the wide road. The gate is narrow. The gate, the entrance is narrow, but the road, the highway of holiness, is a broad way. It's a wide way once you get into the road. Now the gate is straight, but it says, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein thereat. Because straight is the gate. Now, it's the same word. It's saying the same thing. It's a narrow gate because of obstacles. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now, again, our translation here is what makes the difference. The word narrow is the Greek word thlebo, and it means crowded. So the gate is crowded. It's crowded around there. And it's crowded by what? It's a straight gate. It's crowded by obstacles. It makes it hard to find it. As a matter of fact, as we said this morning, if you're going to find the gate that leads into the highway of holiness, that leads into eternal life, somebody's probably going to have to take you there. That's why we have evangelism. That's why we have missions. That's why we have witnessing. That's why we go tell people, because we've got to show them that narrow way and tell them how to get in to the highway of holiness. And there's a whole new life on the other side of that gate, but you got to find the gate first. Amen? Amen. So notice what it says. It says it's a narrow way. The word way is the Greek word hodos. Phonetically, it's H-O-D-O-S. You're welcome, Gay. She always likes it when I give those Greek words. Amen. She has tried to figure out how to spell Greek. G-R-E-E-K. Sorry. Amen. But the word way, it's a narrow way or a crowded hodos. And that word hodos means a mode or a means, a journey or a way. So what it's telling us is that the way is straight, or in other words, it's hard to find. It's narrow because of the obstacles around it. And it is a crowded means. It is a crowded journey. It is a crowded way in through that gate. Religion has taken it for years to say that what it is once you get in through that straight gate, you just got to work your way in through the gate. And then when you get in through the gate, the road you're on is this narrow road. But it's not. That's not at all what it's saying. It's telling us the entrance. But the Word of God says that there is a highway of holiness. Now, I don't dare get back into reading chapter 35 of Isaiah that talks about that highway to holiness. But let's at least go back there and accent the verse where it talks about that. We spent time on this morning and just dealing with the fact that we are on a highway. And he says in verse number 4, say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Even though you have condemnation over your life, you're a sinner, you're condemned, you are lost, God will come and save you. And he did that, didn't he, through Jesus Christ. And everyone who will come to him and enter in through the gate, Jesus is the door. Jesus is that gate. And when we enter in through him, we enter in unto life. Thank God for it. He comes to save us. He comes to save us out of the destruction. So on. Then he says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. When's this going to happen? This is going to happen on the highway after you come through the gate. Beloved, there's so much for you to get after you get into Jesus Christ. There's so much for you to receive. I mean, you don't have to walk bent over and bowed down and beaten up once you get in through that gate and start walking on the highway to holiness, because there's sight for the blind. There's strength for the lame. I mean, this is talking about people walking in the blessings of the Lord. And it's in that highway to holiness. He said, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. I mean, there's rejoicing there. For in the wilderness the waters shall break out, and there'll be streams in the desert. Now go down to verse number 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now, once again, what we're going to target tonight in this message is the fact that this is not telling us that this highway is a highway that we walk that leads us to becoming holy. Let me say that again. I want you to catch this. This is not telling us that this highway of holiness is a highway that leads us to becoming holy. It is a highway of holiness. And those that walk on that highway, walk on that highway because they are holy. Amen. Now, it's important to see that we have to be holy to walk on the highway. And as I said in introducing and getting going on the message this morning, that's not talking about whether or not you have your hair the right length or your skirt the right length or whatever. I was in a deacon meeting one time, and this one deacon said, I'm very upset about the length of some of the women's skirts around here. And they said, Pastor, it's something that you really need to take care of. And I said, they're your kids. You take care of them. Amen. He couldn't control his own daughter. He couldn't get his daughter to wear what he wanted her to wear. And so he thought he'd get the pastor on her. I wasn't going to take that assignment. That wasn't my job. Amen. And the thing is, what's important is sometimes what we do in those outward ways show the condition of the heart. You understand? I mean, somebody that comes into church with their hair spiked and a bright green, you could probably guess that they're kind of in a rebellious spirit. Wouldn't you guess that? I mean, it's not a real fashion statement. It's not, they're not coming in and saying, isn't this lovely? This is the latest thing in Paris. They're trying to make a rebellious statement out of a rebellious heart. But the green hair spiked isn't going to take you to heaven or hell. Amen.
Amen.
That's why when people get saved and come in, don't try to change all their habits right away. Amen. Don't try to change them later either. Amen. You just love them and pray for them and pray with them and watch the Lord change their habits. Sometimes we think, well, oh man, how can they do that and walk in victory? I had this young man got saved one time, and I mean, he came in. He came in. I've told you a little bit about him in the past because he was the enforcer for the Grim Reapers. I mean, his job was the enforcer. If they needed somebody punished or beat up, it was his job, and he could whip anybody. He was made like a brick wall. I mean, he wasn't very big, but he was like a brick wall. And he played guitar, heavy metal, and I mean anything and everything. I remember when he found out that adultery meant that it was a sin to commit fornication. Let me put it that way. He thought the only way that that was a sin is if you were a married person and were having relationship with another person. He didn't think anything was wrong with anything else sexually other than that. I mean, he just didn't know that was the way he was raised. And all of a sudden he comes in and he sold out to Jesus. He'd sit in the front row. He'd get there early so he could be right up in the front. If he couldn't get the front, he is in the second row. And he totally changed. But he didn't give up that acid rock. And I remember it kind of concerned me because that was one of his great pastimes was he'd sit at home, he had hundreds of dollars worth of those records, and he'd play them and play along with them, and he just loved it. And one day he's playing along and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I knew he was into that, and I knew he couldn't be strong in the Lord and feed on that kind of stuff. You know, that's true for everybody, as long as I'm on the subject. You can't grow in the Lord and be feeding yourself with that junk. You just can't. I mean, the very source of it is demonic. And if you're feeding on what has been presented to you through the demonic, you're going to be feeding the wrong kind of stuff into you. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. And so I was concerned about it, so I just prayed about it. And he got up one day and he said, you know, I was playing along with my guitar, playing along with some of my records the other day. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you know that this is not doing one thing to help your spiritual life? This is not doing one thing to help build you up? And he thought about it a minute and he said, boy, it isn't. I never feel closer to God when I get done listening to that music. So he took all of his records, those black records, you know, he took all of those records, put them up. First of all, he's going to give them away. But he thought, if they're not good for me, they're not good for anybody else either. So he put them all in a stack, put them in the oven, and melted them together in one solid mass. and then threw them out. But you see, it wasn't the matter that we said, now you can't go to heaven and listen to that music. It's just that that music is not conducive to your growth and to your development in the Lord. And anybody who's desires to come closer to God is going to do the things that will help you to come closer to the Lord. But it is those things don't make you a Christian. If you say, well, I've gotten rid of all my music now, am I okay now? I've gotten rid of all those old records now, my CDs now. If I got rid of all of them, I tore up all my old worldly tapes. Am I a Christian now? No. That'll never make you a Christian to get rid of those things. Being born again is what makes you a Christian. And the way that you walk that road of holiness is when you give your life to Jesus Christ and start to walk with Him and serve Him. And you enter into the highway of holiness. That's what makes you a holy person. Amen. Well, let's go on to this. Let's go. This morning, I had you turn with me to some of the passages in the Gospels where it quotes. Matter of fact, let's go back to the one in Luke chapter 3, and then we'll start onto some new territory here. Luke chapter 3, and verse number 4. Let's start at verse 3 just to introduce the next verse. It's talking about John the Baptist, and it said he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I mean, get ready for the coming of the Lord. When he comes, this is the promise that he gives to us, and he's quoting out of Isaiah chapter 40, where we're going to turn in just a moment. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Oh, I like that. I like that. Now, isn't that the kind of highway that we should have? We don't have a high. Don't you get frustrated when you're out? You know, I always try to drive in cruise because I want to go the speed limit. And if I put it in cruise, that helps keep me on the speed limit. Amen? I mean, you about get crushed, but you still. So I put it on cruise, and then you go up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain. And you're going 65 mile an hour. But the next thing you know, you're going 60 mile an hour. And then you're going 68, 69 mile an hour. And then you're going 60 mile an hour. You know what I'm saying? Amen? And because you're just going up and down and up and down. And then the semis don't help anything, do they? I mean, I realize they're trying to earn a living, and I can't imagine driving those things up and down those mountains. But it's tough out there. What you really like is when you can get on one of those super highways that's so flat you could roll a marble and it'll go 10 miles. You know what I mean? It's just laid out there flat. The mountains have been made low. The valleys have been raised up. And you're on the highway just, I mean, smooth sailing all the way. Amen? Now, beloved, that's what the Bible says this highway to holiness is. It is a highway that has been laid straight and flat. The crooked places are made straight. God has gone before us and made crooked places straight on this highway to holiness. Hallelujah. Now, you know what that takes away from you? If you're on the highway of holiness and you believe for being on the highway of holiness, there's something that takes away from you. You can't talk anymore about having valley experiences. There aren't any valleys on this highway. Amen. You have to make them. You know? I mean, you have to make up valleys if you're going to have valley experiences. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how can you stay out of valleys? Believe the Word. Amen. Just simply believe what the Word of God says. And know that if the Word of God says it, then it's nothing to worry about. I love that phrase in the King James Bible, it came to pass. Right. Bible says, and it came to pass. And I just love to take just that phrase. You could preach on that phrase. Say, well, this is a big battle that's come my way. Well, it just came to pass. Right. Don't get down in a valley over it. Don't get discouraged over it. See, beloved, when you're on this highway to holiness, there's all kinds of blessings. There's rejoicing. There's healing. We already read that. There's joy. There's peace. There's no condemnation. Amen. I said there's no condemnation on this highway to holiness. Amen. You know, the devil loves to condemn you, doesn't he? He just loves to get after you. And when you walk through, beloved, you can't have any victories if you don't have some battles. And if you have battles that you're going to walk through to victory, you're going to have to walk through the battles. It's kind of like that psalm that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have been with us when we've had watch night service where we passed out, we prayed over them and passed out promise cards. And you asked the Lord to give you a scripture that was your promise for the year. We go through and sort them out. We really do. There are several that we take out of there. For example, we didn't used to do that. And I'd have people come up to me and say, Pastor, look what I got. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Does this mean somebody's going to die this year? It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen? And when you understand that in the New Testament, we have the highway. That was written in the Psalms. We have the highway where that valley's been made, that valley's been filled in. The valley's been raised up. So that when we drive on this highway to holiness, we're not driving in valleys. We're not having mountaintop experiences. We're not having valley experiences. We're walking in fullness and freedom and joy all the time. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that would be wonderful. How do you do that? Believe what God said. You just keep believing what God said. Amen. It's so funny. We're so funny. Look at somebody and tell them, you're so funny. Amen. We just keep preaching the Word, you know, and we tell you, now listen, if you walk this faith walk, there you're going to have the faith challenged. And when you have the faith challenged, there's a period of waiting in there, and that's the testing period to see if you'll hold on to the Word. If you'll hold on to the Word, when everything looks opposite, when everything looks bad, if you hold on to the Word, you're going to come out on the other side with a victory. And you say, gotcha. Yes, I got it. Good preaching, Pastor. Got it. And then we start going through some kind of a battle, and we say, I'm a faith person. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be walking through this. I shouldn't be having this kind of battle in my life. I'm a faith person. That's what we've been telling you happened. And that's when you get the opportunity to not look at circumstances. Remember that opportunity?
Amen.
That's when you get to count it all joy when you fall into those various tests and trials and temptations, those battles come along. But it's like the psalmist said in Psalms 112, I'm not moved, I'm not affected, I'll not be afraid because of bad news, because my heart is fixed on the Word. I know what the Word of God says, so I don't go into a valley. When a bill comes that I wasn't expecting, and I don't have the money to pay for it, I don't go into a valley. I don't get down and start saying, woe is me, what am I going to do? Woe is me. I just keep walking in the highway to holiness and praise God, because my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I'm on the road of blessing. I'm on the road of God's provision. Amen? Amen. This is a road where it's a flat road, a straight road, and you just... So much Christian teaching talks to you about the fact that it's a narrow... You know, I just hate that. This is a hard life, folks. I mean, if you're going to walk for God, you got to be a man. Amen. You women, you got to be like men. I mean, you got to be strong. Amen. The Bible says, quit you like men. You got to... Because it's a hard road. Come on, join us in this hard road. Yeah, sure. I want to be saved and get on that road you guys are on. Amen? Amen. I mean, don't you see a lot of Christians that look like they're enjoying the trip? You know, I mean, they just look like death warmed over walking on the... And here it's a highway of holiness, but they've been taught so long that it's a narrow, jagged... I mean, this road's full of danger. It's a crooked path, and you just have to really watch your way as you walk your way through it. Yeah, amen? Isn't that the kind of teaching we've received? We've received that. I've received that. If you haven't received that, then just praise God for a moment over that. Amen? Because once you get that in your head, it begins to affect the way you walk. You know, can I tell you something about this? I have taught these kind of things myself. God forgive me. And He has. But I've been taught what I've been taught. I mean, I've taught what I've been taught. And you know, beloved, when you teach that kind of thing, if I were telling you the opposite of what I was telling you tonight, if I was telling you that this is a narrow pathway, and it's a narrow way to get in, and when you get in, you got to be dog determined you're not getting off this way because it's a hard way, there would be a spirit that we would feel in this service. And it'd be the kind of service that would make you, it'd be the kind of spirit that would make you want to mourn. It would be the kind of spirit, and the church religion has mistaken that for the moving of the Spirit of God. It's the grieving of the Spirit of God. Do you know what I'm saying? There is a certain feeling that comes with that kind of preaching, and people mistake that for the moving of the Spirit of God, and it's the grieving of the Spirit of the Lord. If God is here saying, look, it's a hard way to find this way in, but once you find it in, there's a highway to holiness. Oh, and by the way, I brought the mountains low and lifted up the valleys so it's straight. I've taken out the crooked places. It's wide open. And then somebody comes with dirty shoes. Amen? Amen? Amen. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. He's not bringing you good news. Beautiful are the feet of those that bring you good news. And somebody comes in and they tell you, it's a hard road, and it's a narrow road, and few there be that find it. Well, that part's true, but that's about the gate. It's not about the road. Once you're on the road, it's a wide open road. You don't have to prove anything on the road. Amen. You just live for Jesus. Amen. You don't have to worry about condemnation. You don't have to worry about the things you've done wrong. You don't have to worry about your past. You don't have to worry, oh, am I living good enough yet? I don't know. Do you know, there are so many things that... I had somebody ask me just recently, they were trying to find out what kind of church I pastored, and they said, is it one of those holiness churches? And I said, no. I mean, I don't want to be associated with that. We're probably more. I mean, if you walk by the Word of God, you're more a holiness church than the ones that say they're holiness churches. But what the connotation of a holiness church is they're the people that got all the rules, the regulations. I mean, you got to have real long hair and then you wrap it up. You wrap it up so tight, you got to let it out at night, get your eyes shut, go to sleep. Those women get headaches just from being holy because they wrap that head so tight with that hair. Buns, Holy Ghost buns, you know? And then plain-faced. The plainer the face, the holier the person. It's true, isn't it true? Have you been in those churches? Yeah. I've been there. I talked about that a little bit more this morning. But beloved, and the rules for men are, I mean, they have ridiculous rules for men too. But it's mostly the rules for women. It really is. Men make them, so they make them for their women. And that's what holiness is. Let's measure your skirt. Oh, good. It covers your ankles. You're on the highway to holiness. No, you're not. You're on a highway to bondage. You're on a highway to bondage. You're not on a highway to holiness. Well, sir, you could come to our church, but you'll have to cut your hair because we walk on the highway to holiness and you can't have that long hair in our church. Now, you can, ma'am. Matter of fact, you can't come because your hair is short. Amen. It's a crazy world. Full of laws and rules and regulations in the religious world. It's exactly the thing that the Pharisees said. Exactly what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees would take the laws of God, and they did live under law. We don't even live under law, and we're still doing it. But they took the laws of God, and then they made hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of other laws that they made up to go along with the laws that God gave them. And religion, I mean, righteousness to them was how many laws they obeyed. And if you didn't obey enough, you couldn't be holy, you couldn't be righteous. I've got to get going here. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 40, and we want to look just very briefly at this passage that John the Baptist was quoting from. Now, John the Baptist was a forerunner, and he's kind of like the man that's out there on the highway with the sign that says slow and stop or detour. He's out there saying, we're building a highway here. It's not ready to travel on yet, but the valleys are being raised up and the mountains are being taken down. We're building a highway here. He's the forerunner, letting everybody know the highway's coming. Amen? And he is prophesying out of Isaiah chapter 40, the prophecy about this highway of holiness. Oh, let's see. I guess we just need to start at verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, salvation is come. How's it come? Through Jesus. Judgment, punishment, wrath, all of that is answered in Jesus. He has come and brought us eternal salvation. Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Thank God the glory is revealed on that highway. I mean, we enjoy the glory of the Lord. I'm so thankful we don't have to just... You know, you can't live by your feelings, but it's pretty good to feel once in a while, isn't it? And when you enter into the presence of the Lord in worship and praise, you will feel the glory of the Lord in this highway. And a matter of fact, you can feel it all the time, every day. You can just walk in that glory of the Lord. You can just walk in the presence of God. And just enjoy that, because His glory is revealed. His glory is brought to us on this highway. Let's see, verse number 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, all the godliness or the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, basically, the bottom line of what this says is that the flesh is not the answer for the spiritual needs. I mean, you get it all down perfect in your flesh, man, so that you're walking fleshly, lining up with all kinds of rules and regulation, your flesh is going to pass away. The holiness of your life is not in your flesh. The holiness of your life is not by your works. The holiness of your life is not by your efforts. The holiness of your life is by Jesus Christ. Your flesh is going to pass away. The glory of man is as the flower of the grass. It passes away. But the Spirit of the Lord is what is alive and rich and real. And when the Spirit comes alive in you, that's where you find that life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse number 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion. Now who is Zion? We are. The church is Zion, the New Testament Zion. O Zion that bringest forth good tidings, set thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, send to the cities of Judah. And the cities of Judah are talking about, Judah is praise. That's what Judah means. Say unto the cities of praise, behold your God. We're to rejoice in the Lord. We're to praise our God. We're to exalt the name of our Lord. Praise your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Oh, I'm always glad when I get on some of those big highways and you just keep going and going and going. I'm always glad that they got some food stands here and there. Aren't you? And where you can just find a good restaurant every now and then and pull off and go in and get fed good. Well, that we got them all along this highway to holiness. You can get fed all along this trip. Amen? He'll feed his flock. He'll feed his flock. Thank God for the feeding of our good shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Thank God we abide and walk in the care of our good shepherd. Well, let's see. Where should we go? Let me just add one more passage to this, and then we'll change our direction here for a while. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and hopefully you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, but it really is one that we need to be not just familiar with. We really need to have this passage burning in our hearts. And the understanding of the passage. So many times, there are a lot of people that quote this passage. It's a very well-known passage. They just don't quote all of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now that's a quote out of Isaiah chapter 64. And like I said, I think most believers know that verse of Scripture. They'll tell you, oh, I have not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. So God's got some good things, we just don't know what they are. God's got some good blessings. We just don't know where they are. God's got some good blessings. We just don't know what to do about it. Not. You quit reading too soon. The next verse. The next verse takes it into the New Testament. And the next verse says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God gives us revelation of the good things He has for us. We get revelation knowledge, revelation understanding of the good things God has for our lives. You know, beloved, we get caught up in teaching in religion. And if you've been under religion very long, if you were in it very long, then you got caught up on all the teachings of religion. And when you start to study any passage of Scripture, what you think you know about that passage of Scripture limits your revelation knowledge of that Scripture. Did you catch me? That's very important. I mean, when you read it, and when you read it, you automatically are interpreting what that says. You're reading that, and you're saying, yeah, I know what that says. Whether you're saying that out loud or not, you're saying it inside of you. You're saying, that means, that means, that means, that means. And you're limiting your revelation knowledge on that. When you study the Word, the best thing you can do is lay aside what you already think you know. Just say, Lord, teach me on this passage of Scripture so that the Lord can take you into new revelation on it. And He can show you the good things that He's prepared for those that love Him. He has things for us. He has things prepared for us that we can't conceive in our natural mind. But the Spirit of God reveals them unto us. And beloved, the more we come into the last days before the coming of the Lord, the more the highway of holiness is going to be revealed to the body of Christ. The more we're going to understand what God has prepared for those that love Him. The more we're going to understand the blessings that God has laid out before us. I believe we're going to just keep getting revelation knowledge and revelation knowledge and revelation knowledge of what God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen? Amen. And isn't that what we want? Because you can't walk something that's not revealed to you. You can't walk something that you don't have understanding of. Amen. Well, he goes on to say, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep, that's what we want. We don't want to just walk in the surface stuff. We want to get into the deep things of God. Now, you got to understand surface things before you can get into the deep things. But we don't want to be stuck, do we? We want to get into those deep things of God, have revelation knowledge and revelation excuse me, understanding of them. Verse number 12 says, we'll stop there. We do need to jump over there to Isaiah chapter 64 real quick and see where he's quoting from. Isaiah chapter 64. Say glory when you find it.
Glory.
Amen. Let's start reading at verse number 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them, for him that waiteth for him. You know, very simply, what God is telling us here is that people don't have, outside of Jesus Christ, they have no concept of this highway. They have no concept of the life that Jesus Christ has prepared for those that love Him. There's no concept of it. And that's why religion tries to modify it so much. Religion tries to bring it all in to focus into your capabilities, into what you have to do. Religion rules out the Spirit of God's work, doesn't it? I mean, that's where religion begins to have a problem. Pastor Philip was talking to me on the phone yesterday, and let's see, what was the healing? There's a man in the church there in Harrington, Kansas, where he's having the meeting, has some kind of disease. And the disease was affecting him in several ways in his body. And one of the ways was that the only visible way was in his shoulder. And the ball and socket were going to have to be replaced in surgery because of the deterioration that the disease had caused. And so the man was in considerable amount of shape, considerable amount of pain in the shape that he was in the shoulder. And when Philip said, when I prayed for him, he was healed instantly in front of everybody. And he said the only thing that was visible was that arm, and he couldn't lift the arm. I don't have any idea because I couldn't see Philip describing it, but he couldn't lift the arm above just a little bit. And when the power of God hit him and he was healed, his arm was so free. And I mean, he could move it every way, and it was restored. It was just whole. It was restored. And after the service, somebody came up to him and said, could I ask you a question? He said, sure. He said, that was psychosomatic, wasn't it? That was just mind over matter. You know, ask Philip. He said, no, it's the Spirit of God, you know. Do you understand my point? All right, there's a miracle. What's the explanation of it? There's a miracle here, or apparent miracle. How do we explain this? What's happened? For man to just simply say, well, it was God, it was the power of God. No, there's got to be something else. There's got to be some way this worked. There's got to be something that they just became convinced, or something. It was just all in their head and they got their mind cleared up, whatever. No! It's the Spirit of God has power. Amen? And when we begin to understand the moving of the Spirit of God, then we can begin to understand how God works and moves in our hearts and in our lives. It's fun. It's fun to minister among people that don't see miracles. They're not used to them. And miracles are a surprise to them. Amen? When Philip Thornton, about 3 weeks ago, he was in Nashville. And I don't know if he shared this or not, but he had a number of miracles in the service. And he prophesied, called people out, and read several people's mail. There was one young boy that had broken his shoulders, or his shoulder, and he was all harnessed up. I mean, it just had happened. And he was all in a harness and a brace and everything. And by word of knowledge, in word of knowledge healing, Philip called that out, and that boy was healed, took off the brace, and was totally healed. I mean, that was another one. It was manifest in front of everybody. And there were several other major miracles, major healings that took place that morning. And he said one of the people, for example, was the keyboardist, the one who plays keyboard for the worship and praise. And he said when the service was over, he went downstairs. He stayed downstairs for 2 hours weeping before God because it was the first miracle he had ever seen. I mean, he's in a charismatic church. He's in a church that teaches it, preaches it, but they never see the miracles. They never see the hand of God. Beloved, you'd be surprised how many people are in that state. They're in situations in churches where they never see the power of God. They never see miracles. They talk about them. They believe in them happening, but they never see them. Amen? We're not going to get done with this. I got to get on the subject, don't I? Amen? I just kind of follow the Holy Spirit and go where I, you know, go wherever we end up going. But the point that we need to understand is that the Spirit of God is powerful. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that works in us. And He's the one that has prepared great things for us. In the highway to holiness, there is rejoicing. In the highway of holiness, there is praising. In the highway of holiness, there is victory. In the highway of holiness, you get your whole family in that highway with you. I mean, it just goes on and on. It is a glorious thing that God has prepared for those that love Him. And the Spirit reveals them to us. How does He reveal them? Through His Word, through His Word, through His Word. We just keep getting it by the Word of God. Amen? We're in verse number 4 of Isaiah 64. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, thou art angry, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us all away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it's amazing how many people know that part of the verse. It says that we are all unclean. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. Beloved, what it's telling you is when you try to walk by your flesh and you try to attain righteousness by your works, all you get is a pile of dirty rags. You can't be righteous in yourself, so don't even try it. I said you can't be righteous in yourself by your works, so don't even try it. Just a second, Pastor. I don't think I quite understand this. You mean I don't have to worry about doing things that are right or doing it's all right whatever I do? I didn't say that. Amen. Christians are going to walk like Christians. The Bible says in 1 John that those who continue to habitually sin have not really been born again. When you're born again, you're going to start to walk after God and you're going to start to want to do the things of God. You're going to start to want to please God. Doesn't mean you're going to have everything perfect right off. Doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. But what I'm saying to you is when you say, oh, I got to walk in this road to holiness. Now let's see, how long is my hair supposed to be? How long is my skirt supposed to be? I followed a pastor one time. Church was very small when I got there. Who One of the ladies told me, you know, I wouldn't let her talk bad about the pastor. I would not let her talk, I'd not let people talk bad about him. If they talk bad about him, they're going to talk bad about me. If you have a habit of talking bad about pastors, you're going to talk about pastors wherever you go. I had one man come to me, it was in the same church, and he said, Pastor, I'm coming back. I'm locking back in with this body. He said, I didn't like what the last pastor was doing, and I quit, and I went someplace else. And I said, well, you were wrong. I said, what you did was totally out of line. I thought, if this guy's going to leave me, he might as well do it at the first. If not, I want to get across to him some point here that might help him to be able to walk victorious in his Christian life. Amen? How to get off on that? I was talking about something here. Huh? There was a lady there. There were several ladies there. Oh, I know. She was out working in her lawn, working on flowers, and she had slacks on. And the pastor was out driving by and stopped, went up to her in her own yard, and disciplined her soundly for wearing slacks. I mean, because she wasn't, you know, she's supposed to be over here on this road to holiness, on this road to righteousness. And if you're going to be on that road to righteousness and you're a woman, you don't wear slacks. Have you ever read that in the Word of God? It's in Hezekiah chapter 3 and verse number 5. Right. It's just right after the verse that says, he that sitteth on a tack shall surely rise again. There's no Hezekiah in here. And there's no verse like that in there. You know what they use? You know what they use for their argument? That a woman should not wear men's apparel. I'd love to have seen that pastor one time preach a sermon in that woman's slacks. Women's slacks are not made for men. Amen? I mean, how do you come up with stuff like that? How do you come up with something like that, that's what holiness is? God never came up with anything like that. God's word doesn't come up with anything like that. But he stopped driving by. She's in her own yard, working in the garden. I mean, working in her flower garden, running around in the dirt. And he stops to chew her out because she's wearing slacks. It doesn't make sense. Am I right? Amen. It doesn't make sense. That's not what holiness is all about. And when you're trying to walk your holiness by your works, then you've got to constantly be checking. Well, am I doing right now? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be now? Did I pray enough today? Did I pray enough yesterday? Oh, God's probably mad at me because I didn't pray for this week like I should have prayed this week. God's probably upset with me. I'll go to church this morning and I won't even feel the presence of God because I haven't prayed like I should this week. And you know what? You're probably right. You'll go to church this morning and you probably won't feel the presence of God because you're so convinced that you didn't do enough good, that God's going to move in your heart, that you won't. The only way you access the presence of God is by faith. And your faith is all messed up because you're trusting in your works. Do you know there isn't any place in the Word of God where it says, You can come right into my presence, right into my presence, if you do it every day for a good length of time? In any place that says that, is there? It says you can always enter right into his presence. Thank God you can do that. Because if you have a day where your prayer time isn't like it should be, the next day you sure need to get right in there. Don't you? And how do you get in there? By faith. By faith. That's how this whole highway to holiness works. You can't get on the highway to holiness. You can't walk on that highway of holiness and enjoy that highway of holiness if you don't walk it by faith. It's a faith walk. It's a matter of faith all the way through. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help me. Verse number 5. Did we do that? Yes, and we were on verse number 6. Our righteousness, the point is, when you try to be righteous by your works, all you end up with is filthy rags. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are righteous. We are righteous. How are we righteous? Through Jesus. Our righteousness is in Jesus. Our righteousness isn't in us. It isn't in the works that we've done. It isn't in how good we do. Our righteousness is in the Lord. Now, Here's what we need to do. We're going to have to move along here real quick here, because I want to show you the Word of God on where your position is as far as being holy. Now, we have so many things that we have that religion teaches, again. And some people here probably still, hopefully not many of you, but some of you probably still have a hang up, so that it's very difficult for you to just sit there and say to yourself, I thank you, God, that I am holy. Whoa, say what? I am holy? I wouldn't dare say that. Well, if God says it, why can't you say what God says about you? God says that you are holy. God says that. And His word tells you to be holy. I mean, let's go first of all to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, you're going to have to just get real busy with your Bible. So get your Bible out and be ready to turn to where we turn and get there rapidly. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16. Amen. Let's start at verse number 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. And the word conversation there is that old English word that means in all your manner of living. As God is holy, so be you holy in all the way of your living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God tells you to be holy. Well, would God tell you to be holy if you couldn't do it? No. He tells you to be holy because He's prepared a highway of holiness for you. He's prepared a way of holiness for you. And you can enter in through that holy way and walk as a holy person before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. We're to follow holiness. There's a highway of it. Follow that highway to holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We best be holy. If you're not holy, you won't see the Lord. Oh, well, I better get busy then. I got a whole lot of things to straighten up to get holy. You know, beloved, I want you to understand this so bad tonight that you can't work enough to get holy. And if you roll up your sleeves and say, okay, I'm going to do everything I can, I'm going to be at holy, I'm going to get things straight in my life, you'll not make it. All you'll have is filthy rags. You have to rest in His righteousness and in His holiness. Our holiness is through His righteousness. I said, our holiness is through His righteousness. It's not through our works. It's not through our efforts. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. I'm just going to be sharing several scriptures with you, a number of scriptures, and we're going to be just looking at this over and over again. I want you to see this in the Word of God. I want it so clear to you in the Word of God. And if you're a note taker, or if you're not a note taker, and you're a person that the devil beats with this, take notes on this. Just write down these scriptures so that you can go back in and read them for yourself and study out what they're saying, because you're going to find every one of them is talking about you being a holy people, a holy person unto the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. You also, as lively stones or as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You are not only a priest, you are a holy priest. You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Say to somebody, turn to your neighbor and say, I am a holy priest. I am a holy priest. Turn to somebody else and say, I'm a holy priesthood. I am a holy priesthood. We are priests. We are a holy priesthood. Now, beloved, the word holy means that you are totally, 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 totally separated from sin. You don't have any sin hanging on to you. You don't have any sin in you. You're totally delivered. You're totally free from sin. Your sin is gone. Well, that shouldn't be too hard for you, because the Bible says it's removed as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. What a difference it'll make if believers start to understand that they are holy. Amen. It's not, you can't brag about it. It isn't anything you did. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should brag, save in the cross. And that's the only place you, oh, praise God. He's made me holy. He's made me holy. He's made me righteous. I'm in right standing with God, and I'm in holiness in the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. When you find it, say glory. Verse number 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Now, beloved, that goes together, doesn't it? We're unblameable and in holiness before God. You are unblameable. You say, wow, but I did some bad things back there. One of them was yesterday. Well, are you in Christ? See, if you want to walk in sin and live in sin, then we're talking a different story. But if you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're serving God, He takes away your sins and removes them from us, and you walk in holiness before God. Holiness, holiness before God. Your sins are gone. And you walk in that holiness before the Lord. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. When you stand before the Lord, the Lord will not blame you for any sin that you've ever committed, because they're forgiven, they're forgotten, they're gone, and there's no blame to you whatever. You are in holiness before the Lord. Does the Bible say that? Answer me. Does the Bible say that you have that holiness?
Yes.
That He presents you blameless and holy? It says that, doesn't it? I mean, that's how you can walk on this highway of holiness. It's a highway of people. It's a highway for people who are walking in the way of holiness, in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Every benefit, every blessing of God is on that highway. Hallelujah. That excited me. Amen. Are you awake, everybody? Amen. You just kind of look like, oh, really? Well, that's good. Amen. Amen. You're just soaking it up, right? Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Boy, some of you are getting fast. Of course, I notice after the glory, you're still turning pages. Just kidding. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Oh, I like that. We used to be enemies with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We used to be separated from the Lord. We didn't belong to God. God didn't belong to us. We weren't the children of God. But He's reconciled us unto God. Verse number 22. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Hallelujah. Now, don't get the picture of in the sweet by and by when we die that the Lord is going to say, well, here they are. I made it. I got them here. And now I've cleansed them, and that old flesh is gone, and all their old past is gone, and here they are. I present them now, holy. No, He presents us now. We're presented to Him now. Amen. He presents us before Him. We stand before the Lord in that position right now. Unblameable, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. All the sins are gone. All the iniquities are gone. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Amen. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. You are a holy temple. Where is the temple of God? We are. And you are a holy temple of God. Holy before God. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 as long as you're in Ephesians, and look with me at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. The last two words in that verse are in love, and it fits all right. It really should be in love, should be in the next verse. It goes with the next verse, but you can put it in there. It's fine in there. Notice we're unblameable and holy, unblameable and holy, unblameable and holy. I mean, that's your position, beloved. You, have, as a believer, have been made be holy through Jesus Christ. Why? Because of how long your hair is? Because of whether or not you got makeup on? Because of whether or not you wear earrings or a ring? Isn't it something how they get off on those things? Women, you're not supposed to do the braiding of your hair or the wearing of gold, so on. I mean, that's all real important for your holiness. It's not in the Word. They take Scripture out of context. I've gone over that Scripture with you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Let's look at it just real quick, because if you haven't seen this, I want you to see it. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one of their proofs that women, that you should not wear gold, and you shouldn't have elaborate hairstyles, whatever. It says, chapter 3 of 1 Peter, that there to behold your chaste conversation, verse number 2, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, so on. So it tells you right there. Now, what they don't finish this though. Plaiting of the hair was a hairstyle that they used to have in those past days where they would put ornaments in their hair. I mean, they'd weave them right into their hair. It might be gold or jewelry or whatever, but they would braid that right into their hair. And he said, don't let it be that, or don't let it be the wearing of gold. And so, I mean, preachers can get off on that your beauty is to be the inside of you, not the outside of you, and you're not supposed to wear that gold. Blah, 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 blah. But then it says, or the putting on of apparel. So, I mean, if they're going to follow through, you're not supposed to wear gold. You're not supposed to have those fancy hairstyles, and you're not supposed to wear clothes. You know that's not what it says. I mean, it's very apparent that's not what it says. But people just get caught up in that kind of stuff, don't they? Hebrews chapter 3. We do have a good time, you know. Our ministry team has several guys that their hair's like gems, and it's really quite interesting. They go over to Beattyville and do the television thing there, and invariably somebody will call in and say, "What about that long hair on them, man?" You know, I mean, like they're raised in something, they're taught this, that's where the holiness is. We're not hung up by that kind of stuff. If you like your hair a little longer, wear it longer. If you like it a little shorter, wear it shorter. Amen? Amen. Say, well, you know, it says, Paul said that a man shouldn't have long hair. But he goes on to say, but we don't have any such laws. Read that passage. Don't stop reading Scripture so soon. Read on. He said, but we don't have any such rules. We don't have any such laws as that. Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Ladies, we appreciate it when you paint your face. We appreciate that. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. I don't mean anything bad by that. Just the truth. Amen. There ain't anything wrong with it. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Let's find some more scripture. Hebrews chapter 3. Did I give you that? And verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren. Was he writing to some guys that were dead and up in heaven? No. He was writing to the body of Christ. And he said, wherefore, holy brethren, he's talking to the body of Christ and calling them holy. They're a holy people. They're on a highway to holiness. A holy people unto God. But we could say the same thing. I could get up on Sunday morning and say, good morning, holy people. And I'd be right on target, because if you're the righteousness of God and you're born again, you are a holy people unto God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, the rest of the verse says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. I'll leave that alone. Amen. That's another subject, but it's a good one. Go to 2 Timothy. Excuse me. Are you getting the point?
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want you to see that the Bible calls you holy. The Bible says that you are holy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Oh, this verse says it all, doesn't it? It says exactly what I'm telling you. He has saved us. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A holy people. He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling on a highway of holiness. Ha-ha. That's where you are, beloved. That's who you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, let's see. Do you want some more? Go with me to Matthew chapter 27. Excuse me. Here's the breakout of holiness. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 52. The graves were opened. Now this was when Jesus died. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. In the Greek, the word hagios, phonetically that's H-A-G-E-E-O-S. Hagios. You're welcome. That word is the word translated holy or saints. It's the same word. It's number 40 in your Strong's Dictionary if you want to look it up sometime. Word number 40. It's the hagios, and it's talking about either being holy or being a saint. It's the same thing. It means exactly the same. If I say to you, you're a holy people, or if I say to you, you're a saint, it means the same thing. Now, we've gotten to the place where the word saint among religion in our world has come to the place where it's somebody who's died and went to heaven and was really somebody that was really super, super, super great. And if somebody says to you, you're a saint, I mean, they're just telling you, you just did some special, special favor. Amen? And we say, ah, pshaw, it's nothing. You should say, thank you. I know it. Amen. You are a saint. You are holy. You're a saint. You're holy. You're separated. You're blameless. You're on a highway to holiness because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and made holy through Jesus Christ. Now, many of the scriptures, go to Romans chapter 1, verse number 7. Many of the scriptures that we find that tell us that we are holy are scriptures that just call us saints and refer to us as the saints of God. And by being saints of God, it lets us know that we are holy before God. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Hagios, called to be holy, or called to be saints. Either way. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could go on and on and on and on. There are several hundred verses in the New Testament that talk about the holiness and the saint and the righteousness. And many of them, if not most of them, refer to the fact that you are holy through Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, beloved, get that into your heart and in your spirit and into your life. And quit trying to earn the points with God. There's only one way to get anywhere before God, and that's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But when we walk by faith, we walk in victory. We walk in the blessings of the Lord. And we see the victories that God desires for us come to pass in our lives. Amen.